Caution. It is important that you consult a physician and a trainer or coach before you begin. You should have a medical checkup before starting any exercise program.
Hello, I'm Coach Emmett Carney. Today we'll be dealing with pitching. In our first video, we will deal with the mechanical drills of pitching to help you throw this baseball consistently for strikes. And help you take less wear and tear on your arm and make you a more successful pitcher. I hope that you'll pay attention and pick up some of these helpful tips that may prolong your life as a pitcher. Before we even pick up a baseball, guys, to even throw, the first thing we need to make sure we do is that we warm our bodies up properly to throw. Never ever throw to warm up. And what I mean by that is don't show up, pick a ball up, and call yourself getting warm by throwing a baseball. What you need to do is warm your body and being prepared to throw the baseball. Whenever you go to practice, I can't stress this enough, you need to warm your body up to throw. So what we're going to do is with Jay and Timmy's assistance, I'm going to show you a couple of exercises that's going to help you. One of the things I like to have them do first, which we won't do today, is run. And when we run, I like to have them run with the baseball in their hand. You may ask, why do we do that? We run with the baseball in our hand to get a feel for it. I want you to be comfortable. Spend as much time as you can. So if we're running, let's put a ball in our hand. Work on the four-seam grip, two-seam, across the two short seams, but get a feel for it. Once they've ran, they've got a little sweat going, then we're going to come in, we're going to stretch. Okay, guys, just drop your glove. What we're going to do is what we call pinch the shoulder. They're going to take their right arm across their chest, and they're going to grab it. What we're going to work on here is concentrating on stretching the rotator back in here. We're getting that loose, especially with the throwing arm, since we've got two right-handers. Another drill, we can take the arm behind the back, pull the elbow down, and try to stretch as far down as you can, really getting a good stretch. Now we can switch over to the left side, doing the same thing. Reach down your back. Don't hurt yourself. Nice and controlled. Let's put our hand out, one fingers up. What we're going to do is pull our fingers back. You're going to get a little pull right here in the forearm. We're getting our whole body ready to go because the wrist is going to play a big factor along with the forearm. Now you can rotate that down, palm out. Then you get another pull, and you get that flexibility going there. Now let's go to the left arm, fingers up, down. I cannot stress the importance of making this a daily portion of your routine. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take our right arm, put it behind our back, and I'll turn around. And what we're going to do is pull our right arm to our left and pull our head to the left and get a stretch. There you go. Now we can switch to the other side. Again, getting the neck loose while also getting the torso upper loose. Now we can spread our feet a little bit wider than shoulder width. What we'll do is we'll rotate to the right, and we're going to take our right elbow and put it outside our left knee. Rotate. Come on forward. And get a good bend down there. What this will help you do is simulate the finish in your mechanical motion. Now we can rotate also to the left. It's also stretching the lower hamstring, getting a good stretch in the rear leg. Come on straight up. Another thing you can do is if I'm with Jay, I can pull his arm up. I can put an L in here and I can ask him to gently pull forward. A little bit of isometrics. I can also pull the arm down. Nope, relax. Now pull forward and get a little bit of strengthening. I can take both hands, ask him to extend his arm, and what I'll do is when he gets a little tight, he will let me know. But we're trying to gain some flexibility here. Okay. Now I'll ask him to sit down, put your right leg over your left. And then you're gonna hook this outside, what I call the pretzel, and he's gonna pull his leg going to the right, and he's gonna pull the opposite way with his left, and he's gonna look behind him. Get a pretty good twist right here. Now we can switch to the other side. Also, concentrate on your breathing when you're doing these exercises, okay? One of my big ones is now, I want you to pull your feet up under you. Pull your feet together, pull them up under you. We're gonna work on the inside of the groin. Grab your ankles. Now we're gonna kind of push down on the inside part of a thigh. This is a big preseason injury. A lot of guys will hurt their groin because they do not properly stretch. You gotta understand, guys, when you're in high school and your season's limited to 20 games a year, if you blow something here, now you've ruined your chances of having a successful year because you're gonna miss probably about half your season. That's another good one. Now let's stand up a little bit. Spread your feet wide. And what we'll do is we'll just kind of get a little groin action here to make sure, because we're gonna really use our lower part of our body. Feel your body. It ought to be sending messages to your brain. See if you can see that muscle in here stretch and know when it's too tight. Now let's go the other way. That's good. These guys should be ready to go. It's a pretty warm day. Remember, different body types require longer. Me being as old as I am, it's gonna take me a lot longer than Jay. It's gonna take me a lot longer than Timmy, but it's gonna take Timmy a lot longer than Jay. So remember, you've gotta take care of your body. Warm your body up to throw. Never throw to warm up. If you go to practice, take it upon yourself to get there a little bit early. Develop your own routine of what's gonna help you and what your problem spots will be, so you can concentrate on that and not run the risk of hurting yourself. Now that we've properly warmed our body up and we're ready to throw the baseball, I feel that we should start our day with the mechanical drills. I believe in this routine, and whether it's game day, practice, I like to make mechanical drills a part of your daily routine. In my opinion, I think it helps create good muscle memory. You get that daily dosage of muscle memory that helps you to stay sharp. So the first drill we're gonna do is I'm gonna use Jay here, and we're gonna work on the wrist drill. The reason we're working on the wrist drill is because a lot of guys do not use their wrist. If you use your wrist, and you'll see as we go along with a glove tuck, you may gain 2 to 4 miles per hour more on your fastball. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna start with the wrist drill. I'm gonna have Jay drop down right here. He's gonna need to do it on one knee, he can do it sitting, but the purpose is to work on the wrist. So what I'm gonna do is have him take the ball, he's gonna get his throwing elbow up, shoulder high at least, don't lean on that front side, there you go, and he's gonna work on just snapping the ball with his wrist. What I'm working on is just the wrist, getting a good snap, excellent. This is gonna give you an extra velocity on the ball and good movement, give you a good live pitch, excellent. Notice he's getting a good snap on it, 2 fingers and a thumb the way he's gripping it. The elbow's gotta be at least shoulder high. This is something you can do between TV commercials when you're sitting around watching TV. It's an excellent drill. You can do it with your mom, you can do it with your dad, your little sister, your grandmother. As you can see, it doesn't require a lot of work. What I urge you to do is do maybe 15 or 20 and then relax and maybe do another 15 or 20. Get your body functioning on all cylinders, from the smallest part to the biggest part. Again, this is a wrist drill. So what we want to make sure is that when Jay does this, he's got his elbow up at least shoulder high. If he took his glove and folded it, it's very important for this elbow to be at least shoulder high. He's going to use 2 fingers and a thumb. And then he's gonna just snap his wrist, snap. Working on a good wrist snap. Here we go, ready? So as you can see, you don't need the baseball. You can still work on this at home. Go ahead. Snap. Daryl is doing here is what we call one the knee, drill, bury the shoulder. And what Daryl's going to do is he's going to start with his hands up, center of the body. This is what I prefer to refer to as a closed position. Now, and it's very important that we work on one. He's going to finish on his follow through, but he's also going to work on his separation of hands. When he separates down. He's got his glove open. We got the scarecrow position, or what I call the T position. The thumbs are down. Notice how his body's closed. If he's on the mound, his front side should be able to be read by the third baseman. He's got his eyes focused on the target. At this point, he's going to finish. When I say finish, he will glove tuck. He'll form an L in his arm, throw, and follow through. Finish. What I like to see him do is really get the shoulder down, because as the arm develops speed, it is very important to let the shoulder and back muscles do their job and naturally slow the arm down. Okay, here we go. Let's try it again. He's going to separate and go. Go. Work on a good follow through. When he finishes off, what I like for him to say to himself is 1001. One of the telltale signs of a pitcher is getting tired, go, is that he will start finishing higher. So what we want to do is make sure we get a good finish, good follow through. He's got his glove off to the side, his chest over his knee, so it's less injury way of throwing the baseball. Again, this is a one knee drill, bury the shoulder. He's working on his finish, his follow through, hand separation, and tuck. This is what I refer to as the heel up drill, and more commonly I use it with the younger guys as shoelaces kiss the ground. And the purpose of this drill is to make sure that Timmy rolls his foot over, because when he rolls his foot over, if he'll roll it over, now it releases the knee. Once the knee is released, the energy is generated through his waist. So we want to make sure we get a good roll of the foot, so all the energy which starts at the feet goes on up and out the arm. When he starts out in a position, he's going to make a small shift to the back leg. Again, this is just to kind of lock and load to get just a little bit of push when he goes towards the target. Again, we always separate down, separate, form a T, finish, and he's going to finish over his knee. And he's going to also work on the balance, finishing over the front side of his leg. Here we go, glove off to the side. This drill is really good for helping small pitchers like Timmy generate and get the most use out of his body. We do not want to cheat ourselves. He gets more of a better feel, creates better muscle memory. While Timmy's doing this, we also want the ball to travel on a forward and downward plane. That pitch is the toughest to hit of any baseball player. We don't want it straight, we want it forward and downward. Gives him the best chance of being successful. Then I'll let Timmy finish the rest of them out on his own. What Philip is doing is what we refer to as pinch the knee drill. The purpose of the pinch the knee drill is to assure the pitcher that he does not drag his back foot. This could be critical on his fastball. If Philip were to drag his back foot, he's going to lose velocity. The ball's going to stay up in the zone. So what we're actually trying to work on is getting his back foot up and over. As you can see, he's going to try to pinch the knees together. What we don't want to see, now drag your foot way out. Just drag it along the ground. Because once he drags the foot, he's losing velocity. And we also don't want to see him swing his foot way this way. Swing it this way. That's more or less like he's trying to get up over a horse. What we want to do is try to generate and conserve as much energy through the ball. Channel it right out through the hand. Better. Pinch the knees together. Okay, hold up. For the guy who's having trouble, you can do this also on the mound. And I'll tell you this, a little bit of a drag is no problem. Anything over 12 inches gets to be a problem. So what we can do is put a couple of bricks here and make sure that Philip is going to get his foot up and over. If he doesn't, he's going to probably stump his toe a little bit. Here we go. It makes him concentrate on getting the foot up over the bricks, utilizing his lower body. What Daryl is doing, what we refer to as the combination drill. If Daryl is starting in ready position, the purpose of this drill is to serve a number of reasons what we're going to work on. First, he starts with his feet crossed. Again, he's in a closed position. His eyes are on his target. His hands are center of his body. And what he's going to do is he's going to lift his left leg. We want the foot under the knee, relax. He's going to focus his balance on the right or the inside of his right leg. And then what he's going to pretend to do is, if this is an A, he's going to pretend he's going to crack the A. Go ahead. It works on a good separation of the hands. Now he's going to finish. Go ahead. He's going to finish and follow through again, burying the shoulder, stand close, L in the arm. Come on back up. The purpose of this drill is a lot of guys, when they're on the mound, their hands are slow. What we want to do is accelerate the hands. Once we accelerate the hands, is we're more assured of having the ball right at the point of release when our foot gets there. Okay, D, let's try it. Okay, keep the ball in the glove. He's working on hand separation. He's working on his leg lift. When he starts from the stretch position, it makes him work on lifting his leg straight up instead of hooking his leg back behind the rubber, giving the base runner advantage. So we work on a combination of things. Not bad. And even with Daryl, we want a forward and downward plane break of the ball. Better. Okay, let you finish these out by yourself. What Jeffrey's doing here is working on his transfer step and his pivot, what I commonly refer to as pick it up, put in the hole. It is very important that we do establish this proper technique now. What I'll do is ask Jay to stop after this one and show you what can happen. He starts out with his shoulders square to the target, back of the glove, and what we want him to do is take a small transfer step back. This is the first step in generating his weight and body parts to go towards home to deliver the pitch with the most effort he can. Now what he's going to do is pick this foot up and put it in the hole. What we want to do is, I don't care if it's a hole that deep, pick your foot up and put it in the hole, because if you don't, you can be pitching from the top of the rubber or halfway down. We want to pick it up, put it in the hole, so when you drive, you can go with it. Now, we'll start over, and I'll show you some problem angles. One of the things is, if you notice when Jeffrey takes his normal transfer step, go, that he's got his head above his waist and his weight. He is pretty much balanced out right here. What we don't want to see is step further back, Jay, is to take a step way back here. Now he's getting out of control. To get this far back, he's now got to stop his body, and what we don't want to happen is that. What we want to do is generate a little bit of rhythm. Start over. He starts his transfer step. Now he's going to pivot, pick it up, put it in a hole. What I'd like to also see is when he picks it up is a lot of guys will pivot on their heel. Some will pivot on their tiptoe, and like this. What we want is when we pivot, we want to pick the foot up, put it in the hole, and have this foot in place, and then from there we'll go to our balance point and our gathered position. So what I'm going to do is leave Jay here, because we want to get him to develop the proper muscle memory of how far he's going to transfer a step back and get used to picking it up, putting it in a hole, that he's comfortable with it. He develops a pattern and rhythm that's comfortable for him. Okay, Jay, I'm going to let you do it on your own. Here we go. Pick it up. There you go. What Daryl is working on is what we refer to as a balance drill. Every pitcher has to have good balance. So what Daryl starts out is at a ready position, back of the glove to the catcher or the batter. He does his transfer step. He picks the foot up, pivots. Now what he's going to do is do a leg lift. They used to call it a leg kick, but it's a leg lift. When he lifts this leg, what we want to do is lift it, is keep it tight, and don't swing it out, foot under the knee. Now he's going to maintain his balance. What I like for him to do is focus the balance on the inside of the right knee, or right over the right part of the inside foot here. Then I will give him the ball, and then he'll finish. You've got to have good balance. That's what we're working on here. He's got to be in control. What if he doesn't have good balance is what we refer to as rushing. If he rushes, his body goes off and leaves his arm, causing a poor pitch. I want you to transfer step, pivot, and hold it. What you want to look for is to make sure he's standing erect. What we don't want to see is him arching back right here. He should have good posture, get the leg up at least waist high, foot under the knee, relax. This is something you can do during commercials. You can do it if you're bored. Here we go. Finish. what Jeffrey's doing, and we're added another step to the balance drill. It's really making him focus on maintaining his good balance. He transfers steps, he pivots, and when he gets right here to the gathered position, I'll tell him to go down, then up. He's got him, and I'll say finish, finish, and there he goes. Just something else to make you stress and work on your balance, to get a true understanding of when you're balanced and when you're not. Here we go. Down, up, finish. Okay, I want the rest of you guys hop in here. Daryl, you feed him the ball, then let you tell him to go up and down. Timmy is working on here is another form of the balance drill. Now we have added a lift, hop, throw to it. A lot of players become bored when they simply work on mastering the one balance position. So we try to challenge them where if they can hop out there and still maintain their balance and be in control. So it's just a little bit tougher, trying to achieve good balance, being able to maintain it. He does a pretty good job of it. I'll let you finish these out on your own. Assure him or myself that he is using from the waist down his lower part of his body. What a lot of guys will do if you stand from the side is the best place to check this. As he starts to go home, he may start to lean or rush and he may use his front shoulder. What we want to do is make sure he's using his lower half of his body. I can simply put my hand on his hip, get your leg up. I have him put his leg up and I'll say go. And what I'm trying to get him to use is his lower half. I can feel him using his lower half. What I don't want to see is him getting out here and using that, his front shoulder. Again, relax. And I'll just say go and relax. Make sure he maintains his front leg, at least waist high, leg up. Go, relax. So I know that he is using his legs in his delivery and getting the best of his arm instead of killing himself by throwing all arm. It assures me that he's using the lower part of his body. One more time. Ready? Go, relax. Up, go, relax, up, go, leg up, relax, leg up, go. Okay. One of the things he can do is if he's at home, he can stand next to a wall, give himself about 4 inches, and concentrate on pushing his hip pocket to the wall. We'll pretend my hand is a wall and I'll let him do it on his own. Here we go, ready, go. Philip is doing is what we refer to as the chair drill. You notice he's got his right leg in the chair. He's got his left foot strided out. He starts with his hand in the center body. He gets a small separation of hands and he goes towards the target. What we're working on is getting Philip to feel for himself of finishing over his front side leg. What we want to do is make sure he throws through the ball, finishing over his left stride leg. This is another drill for isolating the lower half of the body. What Jeffrey is working on is the separation of hands. We put him on the knees so he can isolate the separation of his hands. He starts out with his hands centered his body. He's going to separate down. Now he finishes with his tee. Make sure he's looking down the front side of the glove. It's open. Fingers are on top of the ball, thumbs down. Then he can come back to it. What we want to make sure he doesn't do is separate from his body and out and away. We get more momentum if we separate down in this direction here. Here we go again. And he can check himself. He can separate. Now he can look behind him, check, make sure that he's not hooking his arm behind his body, that as he comes down, he makes a big long arc, and he's right where he needs to be. This is something he can do in the mirror, and he can do it home by itself. Here we go, ready? Working on the separation of the hands down. What Daryl is working on is what I call the high five drill. I mainly use this with the younger players because they have trouble throwing through the baseball. So what I try to do is help them generate or create some good muscle memory so they throw through the ball and not around it, which could cause damage to the arm. I have Daryl here with his shoulder square to the target. He's got a good L in his arm. The elbow is up at least shoulder height. He's got his bend in his knee. He's on his back foot. So what I'm going to do is put my hand here and I'm going to give him slight resistance and ask him to throw straight through my hand. Go. He comes through and finish it off. What I don't want to see him do is coming around. I want to see him throwing straight through the baseball. Ready? Go. Okay. Ready? Go. Lose your head. Go. There you go. Ready? Go. Ready? What Jeffrey's working on right now is his tuck and throwing. And a lot of guys, when they tuck, go ahead, we start him out in the T or the scarecrow position. And what they will do is they'll leave this front arm out here, and then they'll throw without using the glove. So what we work on is getting the good glove tuck. So we're now working on glove tuck and throw. Make sure they utilize the front side of their body. We got to have a glove tuck. Here we go. There you go. Again, he's going to get a good follow through, throw through the ball. What he's working on mostly is concentrating on a good glove tuck. What we're doing here is a partner drill. The purpose of this is you can do it with either another player. They grab hands, and basically I'll demonstrate with Daryl. What he is working on, he's working on one, getting resistance for his glove side to make sure he is utilizing a glove tuck, and he's also working on the timing of glove tuck and rolling up into the L along with pivoting with the lower half of his body. So what I'll ask Daryl to do is to slowly go through it. Here we go, slowly. He glove tucks, he finished with an L, he's got the bend in his knee. He's got his glove to his side, he's on his back foot here, he's facing his target, elbows up, and he squared at the target. And what we're doing is we're just working on the timing. Now drop his hand, Philip. He can do it by himself. Go. Do it again. Okay, or he can do it with Philip, grab his hand. Now Philip will get to go, and they can alternate. The purpose is to make sure he's utilizing the front side. A lot of times, if Philip will go again, go. Don't use your arm. They won't use their front arm, they just turn. So there's no use being served to the front arm here. So this tells me he's not using his glove tuck. So what I'll do is I'll say start over, now go. Now he's using his whole body, the front side of his body, along with the back side. Here we go, ready? Continue on. What Philip is doing is what we refer to as bat behind the back. You notice he's got a bat behind his back. He's got his hands on both ends. He's going to start through his wind up, his transfer step, his pivot, his gathered position. I'm asking him to start and hold it in the gathered position. Here we go, start. Now, as he's in the gathered position, what I'm going to do is pretend this is a flashlight. This is a total dark lane here. And the longer he can point this down range, the better off he's going to be because it's going to assure him that he's closed. And then once he releases and go forward, he's going to thrust his hips through the zone to make sure, again, he's utilizing every part of his body. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Transfer steps, he pivots, he's closed, thrusts his hips towards the batter. This is a back behind the mound drill. Notice we're on the back side of the mound. The purpose of this drill is to make sure that those guys that have trouble obtaining a bend in their front knee that makes them throw slightly uphill, they get used to the bend in their front side knee. Here we go, Daryl. He's working on obtaining and feeling of the front knee bend so he doesn't land stiff-legged. Okay, I want the rest of you guys to hop in here. Here we go, Jay. Go. What Jeffrey's working on is what we call the broom handle drill. The purpose of this is to make sure he gets the proper height of his elbow. A lot of guys want to drop the elbow below shoulder level, so this gives them a target to make sure they get up and over the top of the baseball. You can use a broom, you can use a yardstick, you can use your hand, any number of things just to give them something to shoot for to make sure they get the proper height of the ball. You ready to try it again? Mm-hmm. Here we go. This is a waltz drill or dance drill. What we're working on is a little bit of rhythm and movement. As you notice, when Timmy puts his hands up, he gets his front leg up. Now he's going to separate, and as his left foot goes out, his hands extend also. Ready? Go. And just stay right there. Spread your feet. Spread your feet. And I want him to land here. Now what he's going to do is work on bringing it back together. He comes back, hands together, leg in. Then he's going to come back towards me. Boom. And there it is. He's working on the mechanics and the rhythm. Go. I'm going to his left and his right. He works on his balance, but he also works on the separation. Mainly when he goes to his left, his stride foot's going to hit when he's in a proper position ready to throw the ball. As you can see, they both go both the different ways. It's kind of like they mirror each other. So they both get the balance of going left and right instead of just working on one side. Here we go. Try it again, both of you. Okay, let's change sides so they can get the front side of Daryl. Here we go. This drill is a drill I recommend for the older players. I urge the young players not to work on it because they're at a tender age, it could cause some damage to their arm. This is a three-part drill working on a curveball. The first drill we do, you can do it anywhere, in a car, if you're not driving, in the back seat, sitting at home watching TV. We're going to work on getting the proper spin and snap of the ball. Notice that I'm pulling down with my middle finger or my second finger, and I'm rolling my thumb so that I get the snap sound. I want to get a good tight spin working on the ball. We want a good tightness on a curveball. When you get a good tight curve or spin, you're going to have a good curveball. One of the things you don't want to do is kind of push it out. Work on the good tight snap. The second part we work on with the curveball is what we call a karate chop. And you can do this again, sitting on your couch or anywhere. You're going to start out just mainly thinking long arm action, and you're going to say to yourself, fastball, fastball. Then you come to the curve, and what we do is we change the angle of our hand. This is for the curveball right here. Fastball, fastball, curve. And what we're going to do is just come around, karate chop. Work on getting a good karate chop, side of the hand, and then we're going to finish it off. The last drill, what we'll do is I'll step here, is basically take the ball. You can do it from the wind up, you can do it from the open stance position, go through your motions, just slight shift your weight, throw the ball, and throw it in the dirt. Work on getting a good tight spin. It is better to start the curveball from the dirt up than it is from starting it in the zone high and working it down. So what we're gonna do is just throw it in the dirt, work on a good tight spin, and you'll develop that. A caution, have the arm up, a slight bend in the elbow, finish all the way through. What we don't want to do is hyperextend the arm here. We want to be here with the L. Don't hook the ball. A lot of guys used to hook the ball. That's going to telegraph the pitch that a curve is coming. Again, it's like the karate chop. Here, snap. Slight bend in the arm takes the stress off the elbow. Work on those three things, and it'll help you greatly improve your curveball. What Jeffrey's doing is what is known as a towel drill. Throwing his baseball on a player this size, or even the older players, guys or girls, can be very damaging to your arm. What this can do is simulate one resistance and also help him to work on his techniques without throwing a ball. He can do it by himself. He can do it in the backyard. He can do it in the living room. I just urge you not to use one of your mom's good towels. Now do it, stand up and do another drill, Jay. Any one of the other drills you want to do. Okay, there you go. Show me another drill you can do. Good. He's working on his good muscle memory. He can alternate the drills he wants to in any order, any fashion that he wants to.